Werner Ramp from Sports Illustrated. He's up in St. Joe. We appreciate him being flexible with us as we had to haul ass back to Kansas City to get in studio. Matt, we were talking to Chris Jones a few minutes ago, and he mentioned, as I'm sure you've heard as well from players, nobody's happy player-wise about this ammonia packet and smelling salt ban.
You're right. Most players will sit there and tell you that they'd like to have it on the sideline. I think the connotation for most fans is like guys used it forever after they got their bell rung.
Mm-hmm.
That's not always why guys use it. Like sometimes it's just to kind of get them going or just to, hey, you know, wake them up a little bit just, you know, early on in the game, not necessarily because they're coming off an injury. And so, it has a lot of different uses. I get why the NFL wants to ban it, the look of it. I get it. But yeah, most players would prefer to have it on the sideline.
Do you know, we were saying like, they said the team can't actually hand them out, but what's to prevent a player from just having it in his bag before he leaves the locker room and quickly taking a sniff?
Oh, nothing.
Okay.
What's the NFL going to do? Launch an investigation, try to prove
right,
it?
Right, that's what I'm saying.
You know? I mean, realistically, like, if these guys want to do it, they're going to do it.
Yeah. When you look at what practice today, no Rashee Rice, no Hollywood Brown at practice today. Rashee Rice, I want to know what you're hearing around the league. We saw Jordan Addison suspension. People immediately try to take that and then extrapolate out what it means for Rice, but I feel like they're just so different. They're in a car, but like one's a misdemeanor, the other two are felonies. I don't feel like one, and they have kind of a dead set number for DUIs, Matt. So like, does this mean anything for the length of time for Rashee Rice?
I don't think so. And to your point, Cody, like, excuse me, they do have kind of a set standard for DUIs. Now, I will say one thing that's interesting with Addison is that was not his first offense. Okay, it was his first DUI, to be very clear, but he drove 140 miles an hour on the freeway the year prior to that. Now, he said it was for an emergency for his dog, but 140 on the highway is 140.
That's how fast, she was driving a little bit less than that, but yeah.
Yeah, so look, he ends up getting 3 games. I was curious to see if he was going to get more than 3 games just based on his history. But to your point, yeah, I think with Rice, it's not the same thing. It's not. And look, you ask people around the league, and people basically will tell you, hey, it's, good luck. It's a dartboard. Like, what do you think is going to happen? I've long fallen in the camp of, I think it's 4 to 6 games. I think that's about right.
Mm-hmm.
It's the NFL. Would it shock me if it was 8 games? I'd be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked. Would it shock me if it was less than 4? Yeah, probably. I would be surprised if it's less than 4. But I think it's probably like 4 to 6.
Rashee Rice today was in the trainer's tent. He did walk down the hill. We obviously had to leave. Any news in regards to what he's dealing with?
They told us they would update us back in the building. And before I went on with you guys, they did not update us yet. So I do not know. He was doing some work with the medicine ball throughout practice. Hollywood Brown came over. He was doing some work with the medicine ball. Drew Tranquil was down there. Not doing work with the medicine ball, but was down there without his helmet, just working back from that back injury. So it's unclear. But I will say they ended up getting some pretty good work in with the young receivers. I thought, quite frankly, Tyquan Thornton maybe had the best camp practice today of anybody. I thought he was fantastic. So, he got some more opportunity, obviously, with some of those starters out. And then he seemed to be one of the couple of guys that took advantage of it.
When you look at, like, what they're doing offensively, their main offseason plan was, hey, we had that plan last year. Injury derailed it. We're going back to that plan because we think it would work. Do you think that that's a good strategy for them, just knowing that they're essentially running back the original plan? They're just hoping everyone is available.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it in the sense that, to be fair, like if they're healthy, they should be really good offensively. I mean, this team, with the caveat of like you don't know 100% what the left side of the line is going to play like, you look at the rest of their roster. I mean, they're as talented as anybody. I mean, Rice is a legitimate number one. Worthy, one thing that stood out to me, and I'm on my camp tour, might stop here today in KC, like Worthy is running routes much better than he ran a year ago. That is obvious, even just being here for one day. I think the big thing is going to be, can Hollywood Brown play, let's not even say 17 games. Can he play 14 or 15 games? Can, once Rice comes back, does he hit the ground running? Does he look awesome? Obviously he seems to have really rehabbed well off that torn knee ligament. What does he look like? But they're going to, early on, they're probably going to be without Rice. They're going to need Hollywood to be healthy. They're going to need a slimmed down Travis Kelce to look like a slimmed down Travis Kelce. And if they have that, I think they'll be fine. They'll be able to mitigate the loss of Rice. If not, then all of a sudden you're back kind of where you were a year ago, maybe, plus Hollywood Brown.
We're talking to Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated. You mentioned you're on this camp tour, and I don't know if you've been to any of the other AFC West teams yet, but just in general,
no.
A lot of narrative, Matt, this offseason about the Broncos and Chargers again. And I actually think for years, everybody, of course, has been trying to say it's the Chargers' year. The team that, to me, all around has the second best roster and maybe the best chance to even push the Chiefs is actually the Broncos. What do you make of this AFC West?
I think that Denver is clearly better than the Chargers. And I, quite frankly, I really don't understand the argument otherwise. Like, the argument otherwise is literally Herbert. Okay. I mean, Justin Herbert's a terrific talent. He's also never won a playoff game. And I can't think of one meaningful game he's ever won in his career. Like, he's terrific. But the Broncos have, you could argue the Broncos might have the best defense in football. You know, they've got a great coach in Sean Payton. Offensively, they are limited. You know, they're relying heavily on some youth there, but I think Denver's a 10-win team. Now, I will also say this in the same breath. If Mahomes is upright and the Chiefs do anything around that guy, they're winning the division. Like, I have a hard time, even with the schedule the Chiefs have, I have a really hard time seeing them win less than, like, 12 games. They're just who they are. It's like all those years in New England where you just look at them and went, yeah, that team's going to win 13 games. They just are. I still think the Chiefs are far and away the best team in the West. I do think Denver is the team that, if anybody was going to push them, I think it's Denver.
You've been to some of these other camps. Any other teams stand out to you in the AFC besides the Bills and the Ravens? I mean, let's just be honest. Those have been the three teams here for a while. Bengals entered the conversation every once in a while, but they haven't made the postseason in 2 years. So,
I mean, look, I haven't seen the Texans yet. I'm going to see them in a few weeks. They're interesting to me just because I think defensively they're really, really good. They changed their offensive coordinator. I am very skeptical about the offense because I feel like it's Nico Collins and who. But, they, you know, look, I'm a big Stroud believer. I think he's good. I went to Cincinnati last week. I also was in Indianapolis. Indianapolis has talent. They have no quarterback. I just don't see how they compete. Cincinnati, they're kind of what you'd expect. I thought defensively, look, they're limited. Now, obviously, they didn't have Trey Hendrickson that day. He's still working on that holdout or hold in at this point. But I will say this about the Bengals. Offensively, that team could score 30 a game in its sleep. I mean, I think Chase Brown's underrated. You've got Chase. You've got Higgins. Burrow was spectacular today. I think one ball hit the ground. So, yeah, they're the Bengals are that wild card team that you look at them and go, I don't think they can win a Super Bowl because I don't think they can win four straight playoff games with that defense. However, they're a horrifying team as like a seven seed. Like if they went to Buffalo in round one, I think they could win the game. They could score 45 points and win the game. So, but I do think it's Buffalo, it's Baltimore, and it's Kansas City. I think those three teams are far and away the best three teams in the conference.
Lastly, Matt, before we let you go, how do you think these contract disputes are going to get resolved? What's the end game for McLaurin, for Parsons, for Hendrickson?
Look, Hendrickson's the weird one because of Cincinnati's history. You just don't know with them. You know, Mike Brown is not rich by NFL owner standards. I mean, by our standards, he's loaded beyond words. But, like, he doesn't have the financial wherewithal some of these other teams have. Now, in Washington, that's not a problem. They have plenty of money with Josh Harris. I expect them to get a deal done with McLaurin. I know he's 30. I get it. He's by far the best receiver on that team. And you're coming off of going to the NFC title game. I expect them to eventually get some kind of like a three-year deal done with him. I just think it makes the most sense. Parsons, look, this is Jerry Jones. This is what he does. He gets headlines. He loves to talk. He loves to stir up controversy. I think in the end, Parsons becomes the highest paid defensive player in the league. I think he's on Dallas. Is it possibly traded? Yeah. But I think in the end, Jerry just caves like he always does with these guys.
Is there a part, though, that like he might one day find a player that isn't willing to play ball with him after he like screwed around with him so much? Because it feels like Parsons feels as close as I feel like I've seen in a player do that.
True, which is why I said I think, is it possible he gets traded? Yeah, because I do wonder if there's a world here where Parsons just goes, you know what, I'm done with this. I don't care. I'll get paid somewhere else. It is possible. I think money in the end talks, and money usually is a real nice soothing balm for some of the wounds that you have, you know, in the back and forth in the media. But look, Jerry ticks off a lot of people. That is an unhappy organization right now. So, you know, look, do I think he's going to be there? Smart money says yeah. But at the same point, you're right. I mean, at some point, you're going to get a player who just says, you know what, I'm good. I'm done. Trade me. I don't care. And you know, he'll have burned himself.
Matt Verderam from Sports Illustrated, also the Matt Verderam Show on Patreon. Appreciate it as always, man. Safe travels, your next stop.
You got it anytime.